Do you think that this is the case of any good poet, that regardless of his environment, he's able to say something about what he feels inside? And what does that say about regionalism? Someone who might live in Santa Cruz, where it's a fairly serene place, could still... Well, for instance, William Everson, he writes rather rugged and violent poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that there is something about this environment that draws it out of him, or at least reflects that ruggedness, that violence inside of him.
Yeah, but he always wrote that poetry. You know, he comes from this valley. He comes from 20 miles south of here. And it seems to me that what he's lugging around with him is that inheritance. This is a very rugged landscape here. And it's just like me. I live here now. I could live in Santa Cruz. I lived in San Francisco last year. And I wrote the same goddamn poems that I wrote when I lived here, when I lived in Detroit, or when I live in New York, or when I live in Barcelona. It seems to me that the landscape I lug around with me is the one that, you know, is the one that's me, the one that formed me. And although I do write about the mountains, I always write about them with I can see in my nature writing the fact that I'm a stranger there, that partly I'm more frightened of nature than those who are familiar with it, and also more awed by it because I see it in contrast to such immense ugliness, having grown up with it. And that a lot of my extraordinary regard for natural things comes from the fact that of growing up with such disregard for them. As far as, there are certain landscapes I wouldn't care, certain communities I wouldn't care to live in, because I don't think they mean anything. I lived in one once, down in the Costa del Sol in Spain, and apparently you are familiar with one, which would be, you know, Laguna Beach or down there, Newport Beach, sort of resort areas which give the world nothing but fun, you know. Sort of, I call it international bullshit. I mean, it really, there are landscapes or cityscapes or seascapes that represent nothing. You could jump from Laguna Beach to the Costa del Sol to Nice, and you know, it's just a question of changing languages and currency, and it's nonsense. It doesn't do anything. And I lived there once for about 9 months because I was absolutely broke. It was very cheap off season, and I don't think I ever wrote a single poem about the place. I mean, I had to go very deeply into my memory and into who I was and things like that to write. I lived in Australia once for 12 weeks. My wife and I went over on there. I was poet in residence at the National University. And I lived in Canberra, which is sort of a synthetic city, a capital created to keep Melbourne and Sydney from quarreling. And I never wrote a word about the place. I went back and wrote about Detroit. I got very deeply involved in Detroit because, I mean, I just sort of shut my eyes and saw my origins, because what I was seeing around me just didn't mean anything to me. It was beautiful. I mean, once the city was nothing. It was a silly sort of city. But once I left the city, there was a landscape that was very foreign to me. I didn't know how to come to terms with it. It was very beautiful, very striking. I couldn't write about it. I mean, I would have felt presumptuous writing about it. Even the Australians don't write about it very well. So I just sort of looked at it. It is. I see it crawling into my palms now. I see especially the Australian coast, which is with all the volcanic rocks and all that crap. I found very moving, and some of the bird life I found. I see them coming into my palms now, 2 years later. I think that, you know, that the most important cityscape or landscape or environment is the one you grow up with, and it sort of molds you or frames you. And then when you find a counterpart to it, as I did in Barcelona, you get really excited and turned on.